dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas, and Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as a tour, or more importantly, an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. And who better to help us understand the gravity of that war than our first guest? She is the Honorable Michelle Van Cleave. She previously served as the counterintelligence executive for President George W. Bush, capping a distinguished career of public service, both in the executive branch and numerous capacities, and on Capitol Hill. Among others, she worked for then-Congressman Jack Kemp, and she is now a senior advisor to his foundation and one of the go-to people that we turn to on matters particularly involving intelligence. And there's a lot of that going on at the moment. Michelle Van Cleave, welcome back. It's good to have you with us.
Thank you so much, Frank. It's good to be with you.
I'd like to start with kind of your current assessment of where we are on the NSA affair that essentially became a matter of public controversy with the revelations by Edward Snowden, now a fugitive in Russia. You have spoken out quite, I think, powerfully about the damage that has been done. And I'd like to get your reading on whether that damage is about to be compounded by things like this lawsuit against the NSA by Senator Rand Paul.
Yeah, I have to say that the damage in this case is at two levels, and it is devastating in both levels. One, the damage consists of what we look of traditionally as damage, which is when secrets are revealed to our enemies. Our enemies will take advantage of that. And in the case of what Snowden has revealed, 1.7 million documents, we yet have no good grasp of all of the things that he has exposed, all of the operations, all of the people, all of the important things that are vital to the security of this nation and to our friends and allies, frankly, just handed over to America's enemies. And this is what Snowden has done. So that damage is today, and it will be continuing. It continues because, in part, we can't be sure all the things that he has given, and so our enemies have induced a sense of unknowing in us. We don't know how badly we may be exposed, and that in and of itself is a serious problem. But the other part of the damage here that is so incredibly troubling is the extent to which the American public have been misled or confused by some of the things surrounding Snowden into doubting their own intelligence capabilities. And I find that, and the people who are responsible for carrying out those intelligence activities, if we lose the confidence of the American public, that is a serious, serious loss. And it is the kind of doubt and criticism and distance that America's adversaries have long sought.
Michelle, let's talk about both of those in turn. One of the pieces that, as a counterintelligence practitioner, you have doubtless been seized with is the extent to which we've not simply compromised certain documents, but also the sources and methods by which intelligence is collected or processed. Give us a sense, Michelle Van Cleave, of what it means in terms of costs, not simply in a numerical sense, but just in terms of what it takes to reconstitute such capabilities, if indeed they have been compromised, if it's possible at all.
Well, one of the most prized secrets of our adversaries is how it is the United States goes about doing the very, very important intelligence mission that we have. And that's what we mean, what you mean, by sources and methods. Where does one turn to get at secret information, and how is that secret information acquired? The United States has invested a great deal of time and treasure, and people have given their lives to try to build an intelligence capability that is equal to the threats and dangers that we face and all of the challenges that are on the shoulders of the United States for being the leader of the free world. Nothing happens across this globe where people in danger don't turn to the United States and say, can you help us? And that has always been true, and we've had an understanding that this country stands for freedom, and while we cannot reply to every danger that exists, to the extent that we can see things and we can pass information to those who are in harm's way, we have taken that on very seriously. So intelligence has become really vital for the world's security and the safety of people worldwide. That's why we have a much larger intelligence footprint, if you will, than most any other country in the world, and why its loss can be so devastating.
Yeah, and so difficult to replicate. Turning to the second point, the confidence of the American people, I'm very pleased to say that our friend and colleague Andy McCarthy has dissected with care the new lawsuit that Senator Rand Paul and FreedomWorks, I believe, have brought against the NSA and against President Obama on the grounds, among other things, that they wildly mischaracterize the amount of intelligence collection that has been done with respect to American personal information, files, phone records, what have you. Describe that, if you would, and if you can, just clarify, Michelle, why the public is not right to be up in arms that somehow we have a rogue operation that is violating their constitutional rights.
Well, I think the premise of any lawsuit to try to raise the confusion of what's going on here is really very, very troubling to me. Look, Frank, the way our Constitution is put together, we have a system of checks and balances. And those checks and balances exist to make sure that power, wherever it resides within government, is not abused. And that checks and balance system covers all the things that are done in the name of U.S. intelligence. And that includes all of the activities of NSA, to be sure. NSA was established back in 1952 because it was the successor to some extraordinarily important things that were done during World War II, without which we would not have won the war. And so when President Truman created NSA, there were also put into place under our Constitution checks and balances that have been refined and carried forward over the years, such that everything that is done there is subject to layers and layers of review by lawyers, by courts, and by the Congress. And those checks and balances exist even though they are not within the public purview at all times. It's one of the most difficult things in an open republic to be able to make decisions about the things that must, by their nature, be secret in order to succeed. Some of the things that we need to keep us safe are things that we need the government to hold secret. And we do that by having these checks and balances and the oversights that are in place. You know, I wish that it were possible for the American public to know all of the things that U.S. intelligence does, because I think that they would be so proud and so grateful at some of the amazing accomplishments that have taken place. And the American public will never know because they must be secret.
Michelle Van Cleve, former counterintelligence executive for President George W. Bush. On this last point, one of the people who is now being lionized by some for having disclosed some of the things that U.S. intelligence is doing is in fact, Edward Snowden. Do you believe that he received help, training, instruction from the Russians and or the Chinese before he fled to their countries?
He has admitted that he was in touch with this Greenwald fellow about a year before he, in fact, absconded with all of the documents that he purposefully went around and collected. You know, he had a scheme to get his hands on a whole set of things that somehow got defined in ways that enabled him to collect them and then go off to Hong Kong, and then from Hong Kong go to Moscow. So there is no question that he has been getting help. He's been getting help from the outside. He's been getting help from people who are themselves have interesting relationships with Russians and others. And now he is the guest of Putin, and this is not by accident, comrade, as they say.
As they say.
That he's ended up in Moscow. So, you know, how long ago this all began, not clear, but he is not a lone actor.
No, I'm afraid he's not. And also, I suspect that there are others like him who have benefited from what we're told were the flushing of background investigations, some 600,000 of them, by one of the agencies to which the responsibility for such evaluations was contracted out, USIS. But that's a subject for another day's conversation with you, Michelle Van Cleve. Thank you for your tremendous service to our country, both that you've done in the past and what you're doing at the Jack Kemp Foundation today. Keep it up. Come back to us again very soon. Next up, Charles Faddis will talk with us about the curious story of former deputy director of the CIA cooking the books on Benghazi Gate. Straight ahead.
You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.